listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
No, hear you. Can't hear you, Bruce.
Wayne?
Oh, yeah, are you there, Detective? Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm here.
Bruce went dead. I think he's going to hook back up here real quick.
Okay.
There he is.
There I am, man. Sorry about that, folks. Here we go. Technical difficulties right where you need it. Well, everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Wayne Fritz. And we have, thank you, Wayne. We have a special guest with us today. Very special guest. A friend of mine that I've known for at least 10 years, maybe a little bit longer. And you may recognize him from the very popular TV show Cheaters. He's the detective on that. But we have Daniel Gomez with us. Daniel, thanks for coming on the show. There he goes. Now we,
that's my uniform.
Now everybody knows what he looks like.
There you go.
But well, thanks for coming on the show, Daniel. I know that, you know, you being a detective and myself being former law enforcement, in some ways we've shared some clients. And over the years that I've had to have clients get certain members of their family or loved ones checked out electronically. Mm-hmm. You've done a great job. We've been able to hire you and retain you for those services, because you never know what, you know, people may say one thing and do another. And so it's always good to do that. As a matter of fact, because you've inspired me, at least I have a public data and a couple of other accounts that I can run some basic stuff on my own now. I've relied on you in the past to give us some good information about people and stuff. So, want to talk about that aspect of what you do and what are some of the more popular service lines that you do. So, but without further ado, yeah, man, tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about yourself and how you came to be in the business and how long, and kind of walk us through the story a little bit.
Yeah, so I was in law enforcement myself for a while. Actually, I started off being in Texas. You know, that you have to be a peace officer before you become anything,
right?
And so I was a peace officer for the city of Dallas. It's where they had a program a long time ago where you could be a security officer but be licensed peace officer at the same time. You had to go through an academy and type thing, and then I did a little transition where I worked as a bailiff for the city courts building.
Nice.
Where they write tickets and things. So I did that. I did that for a while. So I was educated on how to fight a ticket, basically. But I was at the police and course building. And then I transferred into the Dallas Police Department, and I worked there for about 10 years. And then after that, I transitioned over to, I got a great offer from a gentleman who was considering putting a little TV show together, and said, look, we'd like to get a private investigator to lead up our detective agency. And we'd like for you to be the guy. So I took a chance and started working for the TV show Cheaters. I was working privately and working for the TV show Cheaters at the same time, and did that for 22 years. And the show quit shooting about 2 years ago, and I've been just private status since then. I still feel like I'm working for the TV show Cheaters because people want their cases to go down like the TV show Cheaters, but the whole crew's not there anymore. It's just me and the client. But It's enjoyable. I love it. I love working in the private sector. I think, Bruce, you could probably say this also. You get more appreciated for working in the private sector as working as a public service. But when you work for people privately, it's they appreciate a lot more.
Yeah.
And so that's what I do. But I do a variety. I specialize in infidelity in domestic cases, but I do everything, you know, whatever comes about.
What is the most, is it more so infidelity? What's kind of the breakdown, the categories of clients that you have now privately? What You have infidelity, you have other background checks. What else is going on?
Yeah, I would say infidelity, background checks. Those are big now because, you know, there's so many scams on the internet these days. Child custody cases where, you know, I know, you know, that no parent is the perfect parent, but the other parent's trying to prove the other parent's not a good parent. And my job is to try to make sure that this parent that has custody of this person's child is doing the right thing or whatever is described by the court order that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Wow.
And there was, I'll tell you, like I took a missing persons case the other day, and I told the guy, I said, it's not my specialty, but I found the guy in 2 days. So the guy, my client was happy. Yeah, a homeless guy. Yeah, so I'll take anything, but mostly, you know, infidelity, custody, and domestic stuff.
Okay. So I guess we'll talk a little bit about infidelity. I mean, that's been kind of, like you said, the show Cheaters was predicated on that. So, again, is it kind of just basically following folks for you get a lead and then you kind of see if the liaison is made type of stuff like the show, or what does that look like?
Well, it's kind of like the show in a way, but also it has to, you know, I tried to explain to my clients, I said, you know, you can get into the phone and see the text messages, but at the end of the day, you need hard evidence. You need something that you can see so you can either stay with your significant other or cut them loose or get a divorce or separated or do something. But you need real evidence at the end of the day, bottom line. You know, because I have had some clients come up to me and go, well, Detective Gomez, I got into his phone. I know the girl's texting him. But he told me, you still don't have any evidence. She was just texting me. So at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, old school surveillance and sitting there watching and getting pictures and video or whatever it may be, but get something solid. And that's what they want to see. So my job is to provide that. And I will do that.
Take it to the next level and get them something, a better piece of evidence, you might say, rather than hearsay or social media.
Yeah, something tangible. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, well, that's, right. So they, do you have to generate when to, because I well, you must get paid by either the hour of the day or whatever, or some other types of things. So how do you know, do they tell you, hey, I think on Thursday night, he's going to go such and such, or are you just doing stuff like flat out, like on a multiple day, 23 hour type deal?
No, what I try to do, you know, I'm not the youngest cat on the block anymore. So I try to narrow everything down to where I try to explain to them. I said, there's going to be some hit or miss days. Some days will be good. Some days you won't, but you've got to be willing to invest in this if you're going to get something done. I said, I can't predict, you know, I've had a lady once tell me one time, she goes, how long is it going to take for you, Detective Gomez, to catch my husband cheating? I said, I don't know. I'm not your husband. You know, I can't predict if he's doing it anyway. You know, you feel he's doing it, but I don't know if he's doing it. You know, I don't have a magical, you know, crystal ball at home to predict when this is going to happen. So there's going to be some days it's going to be hit or miss. And then, you know, I'd like to schedule this and just watch them in these particular hours. I always tell clients there's only 24 hours in a day. You got to sleep 8 of them, right? Supposedly work 8 of them. So you got another 8 hours to either lie to you or mess around and I'll figure it out. But right. You know, give me something to work with, but don't call me at 9 o'clock at night and say, by the way, he's cheating right now. Can you go?
Yeah,
because
right.
Then the price doubles if you had to call out.
Right, man. That's for sure. So you're right. I mean, that's usually you can, but if somebody sleeps 8 hours, somebody works 8 hours, you know, it kind of narrows the window a little bit by default. Yeah. So that's really good. So all right, now let's talk a little bit about your social media real quick. I know we'll give our listeners and viewers ways at the end to do that. But so I saw you're on Spotify, you have YouTube. Kind of give us an overview on what's going on.
Well, I have my own podcast also. It's called Beyond Cheaters, the Detective Gomez Files. And I interview different people. I'll probably interview later on Bruce. But usually I try to get past clients or current clients or people just want to tell their story to be able to showcase and educate other people who have possibly maybe going through something so they can listen to the podcast and learn something to, you know, just to prevent the heartbreak in their life, to try to help them out a little bit. And that's what I try to do. I interviewed someone not too long ago involving a scam. They got scammed on the internet, which is really big. And there was just, we talked about this briefly yesterday, but there was a woman that got scammed with $10,000, which is actually kind of small with some of the other stories I've read, but she thought she was speaking with an actor from that TV series called Stranger Things. Right. And, she ended up sending him $10,000 in gift cards and cryptocurrency and divorced her husband. And this guy's what they call a romance scammer. And they target women that are kind of low self-esteem, maybe in a toxic relationship, and got her to divorce her husband and sent him his money and found that the guy wasn't even real. But and this was over in a year's time, but I still can't believe, Bruce, that some of these people, and even men, I mean, I got a guy right now who called me just about a month ago who invested $300,000 into cryptocurrency with a woman on the internet, never met her, and the site's gone, the female's gone, and he told me, he goes, well, she lives in New York. And I go, well, man, I don't know what to, I said, the FBI can investigate it, but I don't think the FBI is going to send a whole crew to go kicking doors in South Africa if your money's over there. Okay. So I just don't think they're going to go through all that trouble. You know, so sadly to say, I think this man lost a lot. And he was like 79 years old.
Yeah. And regarding the age, but some of those people, like you give them the evidence and they still won't believe it. You've had those cases?
No.
They still like, no. This is a scam or whatever. And as a matter of fact, I'll probably talk to you later. There's a scam going on right now. People getting out of prison. This person says he's from the parole department and he gets money to help set up an ankle monitor so they can live in the halfway house. And it's a complete scam. So, I keep on telling them, if the Federal Bureau of Prisons and Texas Department of Corrections is not going to be calling your house asking you for Venmo or Zelle, you know, for a ankle bracelet for your loved one, man, bro. But these people
and they
want their loved one home so bad that anyway, it's crazy.
Yeah, but at least, you know, if you're going to meet somebody, especially when it comes down to romance, pick up the phone, call somebody. I'd love to be in love with Jennifer Lopez, but I'd like to at least talk to her before I start sending her money. Not that she needs it, but you know, you got to think, like, these people make good money in Hollywood and, you know, they got money. You know, I mean, I don't know what crossed her mind. I guess she just kind of felt good that somebody was communicating with her, but Jennifer Lopez wants to break up with Ben Affleck and give me a call. Sure, I'll send her some money, I guess, you know.
And we see a similar thing. The guy says he's over in Iraq and he's a former soldier and he has the pictures of himself and he has all the military stuff. And then, I'm on this special mission. I really can't tell you why it is and this and that. And so they really do a good job with this story in the front end that it kind of explains all their misbehavior in the back end. Well, I told you that I was special forces, this and that. And it's like, holy moly, you know, and just take these folks on a ride. And like you said, it's very, very unfortunate. Wayne.
I get, me being a single guy, I get emails and things from ladies and you can sure spot them. But yeah. I was never a detective, but I was a private investigator for a defense attorney in Columbus, Ohio. And yeah, you know, you had to have your academy first and your peace officer certificate and all that. And I was a policeman for a long time. But there's some strange things when you're investigating that you go through, whether it's civil or criminal. Now, we did a lot of criminal stuff, murders and things like that. And it was those kinds of things that you do are a whole different realm than law enforcement. I mean, law enforcement, yeah, we did a stakeout now and then, but it's nothing like being an investigator or a detective. The things that you've done, I just can't imagine. I was just an investigator. I went in some nasty places and talked to some bad people. I was scared thing was to talk to him, but that's part of the job.
Yeah, it really is. And sometimes you just don't know, you know, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what their backgrounds. I've seen people, especially in some of these scams, really intelligent people get scammed, and scamming does not play a race card. You can be black, white, Hispanic, Chinese. It doesn't matter. Asian, doesn't matter. They'll get you, you know.
I want to go over a real quick case, and this is real talk, everybody. I mean, I have a friend, just a friend that's a lady, and she is involved with her job. She's a past mid-career professional in the financial services industry, right? And she works in with money and financial planning and all that stuff, very accomplished, degreed, veteran in her field. And this guy she started dating, she just kind of had the creeps a little bit, you know, and she just couldn't quite pin it, you know. So she talked to me. I said, hey man, if you feel something's not right, let's take a check. And then I did the public data check. I saw some little stuff. I said, you know what, we better let's retain Detective Gomez here and get a better, because of your license, you have a better ability, right?
To
in the scope of your duties that are way deeper than the stuff that I can do being whatever, you know? So, and it's good, bro. And sure enough, bro, you're through your efforts. You had uncovered, you know, moving from place to place to place, multiple domestic types of issues, domestic violent types of issues, prior conviction, you know, class A misdemeanor stuff, but stuff that was maybe in another state that won't show here, you know. And so lo and behold, man, you know, this now that we have these data points and that she can look at these data points and say, hey man, this dude, you know, up until year XXX, and you know, you can kind of build that profile. This happened here, this happened there, he moved here, he moved there, right. This car got sold, that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now this, but because of the electronic data points, we can really construct a profile of this individual, right? And see what the heck is this guy about? And so, and you know, honestly, as good as I can be as just a regular guy, you know, doing some regular searching and public data stuff, while that stuff is good, man, having a detective, having you, Daniel, and your data services provided things next and next level that, and so, you know, the lady, terminated, that relationship did terminate,
good.
He terminated in a way that didn't precipitate another domestic violent event.
Good.
Felt that guy was prone to. And then, you know, because we knew it, we could see some of the things ramping up and kind of cut it off at the pass. And I was able to use some hostage negotiation type stuff and whatever to get this lady.
There you go.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? There's no hostage.
Sometimes, you know,
talk them down, that type of stuff.
You know, I had a lady probably about a year ago who she met a guy. She was always, sadly to say, some of these women on, you know, you'll see them on Facebook. They're constantly saying, I'm waiting for that right guy. I'm not messing with anybody. It's not worth my time. All that crap, you know, stuff they put up right. For their self motivation. I'm okay with all that. That's fine. You know, I'm waiting for that one. I'm like, okay, you keep waiting because you're going to be a granny by the time you get one. But so finally she meets this guy. She calls me, Detective Gomez. I've met this guy. He's beautiful. He's tan. He's got blue eyes. Man, he's like the perfect guy for me. But I want to do a background check. I do a background check, check the guy out. I go, nothing's coming up. Based on what you gave me, nothing's coming up on the computer. They go, really? Well, he said he's American. I said, well, ask him some more questions. She gave me some more information. She goes, something's wrong with your computer or you're not doing your job right. And I go, no, I'm doing my job right. I said, go out with him again. And so finally, long story short, he finally confesses that he was using a fake name because he had just gotten out of prison for financial crimes, and he didn't want anybody to know his real identity. So she was like, I just couldn't believe you. He was just so beautiful. I said, well, that's what your problem is. You're trying to look for that perfect guy in a photograph instead of looking at the inside of that person to find out who he really is. You're in your early 40s. Get it together.
You know what? We're going to get you that life coaching certification, brother. Be on the show here.
I think you're right. You do some life coaching next. Or...
Hey, man, you're probably just as good as a life coach as you are as a detective, man. And you're right. Sex offenders will use a different name because they're on the sex offender registry and those things. Right. That's a great point, brother, about the fake identity and using, you know, kind of bending that. So great point. So and see what a great service that was, because she could get off the train early. You know, can you imagine she had gotten on that train, been with this dude for about a year, the cognitive dissonance would have built up. It would have been hard for her to, and so some of those people are in love with being in love. You know what I'm saying? Just like that, they're in love with the notion of being in love, and this whole thing to be so romanticized, it's not even real.
Everybody wants love. Everybody wants. I get that, but you've got to be careful where you throw your love at so you don't go to the wrong person. I had a Hispanic guy a couple of years ago, sent this woman $40,000, you know, in a year. And he finally asked me how he hired me. I checked it out. I said, let me see that Western Union receipt. And he showed it to me. You know where the money was going to? Come on, Bruce. Come on. You're good.
I don't know, man. Africa. Oxford.
There you go. South Africa. Yeah. I said, I'm sorry, sir. She's not coming to see you. And that money's going to South Africa. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And it broke his heart. But she's not coming to Dallas to see you, my friend.
Coming to Dallas. No, sir. Have you seen this Facebook group called Are You Dating Him or something?
Yeah. I've had a couple of my clients around. They refer me some cases out of there every once in a while.
That is right. I mean, savages. So. And it really is interesting, right? Because there's, you know, look, if somebody's a liar and doing stuff, that's one thing. But man, you know, everybody is kind of quick to call out, this guy's a gaslighter. Right. My favorite word is narcissist. He's a narcissist. He's a gaslighter. Yeah,
that's narcissist is kind of the new word for an asshole now. It's like. Because when we grew up, it was like, he's an ass or whatever. But now it's like, oh, he's a narcissist. I'm like, well, that's kind of the new word. But back in the old days, he was just an asshole.
It just adds self-centeredness to it, you know, the self-centered asshole, narcissist. So.
Yeah.
Or any kind of untruth is a gaslight. So, so it is kind of interesting. Again, you know, we're not seeing too many innocent guys get rung up falsely, right? Because once again, the one thing that doesn't change is the truth, right? And so a lot of these things that's why I love these background investigations, because, man, you can really see. I just love the data points. Oh, one thing I was going to ask you. Now, do you do anything with cell phone towers and getting the pings, or is that stuff that the law has to do?
The law enforcement, you know, they have to get a warrant for that. To do those pings and things like that. So they have to get warrants for that. And even with cell phones, some lady goes, well, can't you just hack in there? I said, well, that's illegal and I don't do legal stuff. So I would suggest that, you know, either you're going to divorce them. You can, and part of your discovery, you can get the, all the cell phone records. If you want to do that, if you want to go through all that trouble. As far as the pings and stuff like that, your local law enforcement have to do that for you. If they feel it's valid. It's like some lady called me yesterday. Said, well, I think my husband went to this 7-Eleven down the street from me, and I think he might have taken a girl. Can you get the video? I said, no, I can't. You know, you can't. And the police department's not going to mess with it either, okay?
Right.
Because, you know, 7-Eleven, they won't get that. Not for stuff like that. I wish they could, because then I'd make a lot more money, but they don't.
Right, yeah. Another service line for you. Right. Actually, I stumbled into a missing persons case and went to the gentleman's apartment. Then I went ahead and called the local PD from his apartment. Saw blood in the apartment. The guy had actually cut his hand 2 days before the PD had responded. But then the dude's just MIA all the way. And I use some of my former federal credentials to beg, borrow, and plead, like, please ping this guy. Yeah, man, the last time his phone was right over here, and I looked at all the businesses, and it was a county jail. The dude was...
Well, there you go. He's in jail.
It was a jail. He was chilling out. No phone call, but man, no phone calls, no nothing. The county he was in didn't reach out to anybody. I mean, this guy could have been off the count for a good bit, for real. And
yeah.
Anyway, but it shows you, you know, how important sometimes that cell phone stuff is. But I know that's in the hands of the law enforcement. But
yes, it's basic, right? That stuff is.
What is that Facebook group again? You guys were talking about. There's got to be some good stories on there.
Oh, Wayne, oh, yeah. Wayne, that thing gets 10,000 posts a day. 10,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's called "Are You Dating This Guy DFW?" And
I'll look that up.
But man, that is. Look, let me tell you something. It's the
court. It's for women only, though. They won't let you in it.
That's right. You got a woman, Wayne, so you better find a Confederate. I know I did.
Well, I throw a wig on or something.
my person is on there. And so we were able to go on there and take a look for a dude who had been unjustly accused of some BS, right? And I was able to screenshot the bullshit and send it over to a lawyer for defamation, slander, and stuff like that, man.
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah, man, for real. I mean, this lady was lighting up this dude, just saying all kinds of just, and you know what? You could say, Wayne Fritz, that guy hit me in the head with a salad master. That's kidding. Anyway, and then there'd be women just cheering this lady on. They don't know Wayne. They don't know. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, man, you go get him. You know what I mean? Just, and so it does kind of stoke these false fires sometimes. Anyway.
It does.
That's not what we're about, but that is that kind of, you know, and this is the problem when people resort to social media or very, very subjective and inaccurate data gathering methods, rather than just spend some money, hire Detective Gomez, right?
That's true.
And get the facts, man.
Get the facts.
Just get it from a licensed professional, you know, just right. Yeah, man. Don't go to the shade.
And lots of those forums sometimes, they're just cheerleaders for what you're trying to do. And I would probably say half of them, Bruce, don't do anything. They're just gossiping. They don't do anything. Right. Half of them don't do anything. That's the hard part.
It's a silo form of communication. It's this echo chamber, right? So if you're just gonna hear what you want to hear sometimes, right? Exactly. And hear. Some are often, you're not going to hear the truth, right? You're just going to hear what you want to hear. And it's not necessarily. Okay, man. So let's go with a child custody.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
Or if you, oh, Wayne, go ahead, please.
No, that would be a good one.
So Dan, you got a child custody story that you can share?
Yeah, child custodies are very, very, you know, usually I ask the clients, you know, basically, so what are you looking for me to find out? You know, and the biggest thing that I have is when people, if there's a court order saying, hey, you can't have this person at your house, something like that, then my job is to find that information out. I did have one 4 or 5 years ago where the judge said, this guy cannot be with you and this child at the same time. And the girl brought him over there on Thanksgiving and bam, she lost custody. Now, I will tell you this, you know, sometimes there's drugs involved, there's alcoholism involved. I had a client, one who wanted custody of his son because the wife just couldn't stop drinking. She's out drinking at the bars all the time. So most of it comes down to the environment of the child. You know, who's taking care of the child? Or if you have custody of the child, are you actually with the child and not at home all the time? So are you having a babysitter come out? Are you going out and partying all the time? Things like that. That's kind of like what they're looking for. But the key thing is the environment of the child, you know. Who's with the child?
Because right, there are some of those cases where, when if the dad has the custody over that weekend, he can't have his paramour spend the night during his time.
Right.
So if they find, or you find, that the paramour stay the night, then that's in violation of the decree, correct?
In that case. Yeah, and then I'll document it. But I always tell them, I said, you know, the judges and the family courts are kind of funny sometimes. Sometimes they're really strict. Some of them let things slide all the time. I said, if you're going to do something like this, at least get it two or three times so you don't spend your money going to court and they come back and say, oh, well, it only happened one time. That was it, you know. So, Texas is a mother state, so most of the times they're on the side of the moms. So I said, if you're going to try to prove that she's a bad mom, you better have your evidence in order.
Tom, you better have five or six bars or five or six sleepovers for sure. Did you ever have to testify in court as to the veracity and truthfulness of the data that you gathered?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. I had a case a long time ago where I had to testify that I was watching the house and this lady was selling stolen items out of the house. And at one point while I was shooting surveillance, her brother came out and took a white powdery substance under a rock, and I was able to catch it on tape and give it to this guy, and then he took off. And then there was a quick exchange, which is real fast. And so I was asked in court, they go, well, Detective Gomez, what makes you, why do you think that is cocaine? Couldn't have been washing powder? I said, yeah, I guess it could have been, but I just don't know many people keep washing powder under a rock in front of their house. And then, of course, the attorney goes, oh, but you didn't analyze it, did you? I said, well, it wasn't given the chance to analyze it. I would have, but I just don't think people.
I mean, put, are you going to ask the video camera a question, lawyer? I mean, you know, it's like a recording device. It's not.
Yeah. So it was on, I had to testify to the video. And then he goes, you know, my client's attorney said, it's not a good environment because the brother was dealing drugs possibly. And he's like, well, it could have been a washing powder. So, yeah, it could have been, but I don't keep my washing powder under a rock in front of my apartment.
No.
So attorneys, you know, you get paid, they get paid to make an argument. So I can't blame you. He's trying to make an argument.
Well, the guy I worked for, he taught me something. He said a real good attorney never asks a question that he doesn't already know the answer to. And right. Man, I'm saying sometimes if you get a question like they ask you, you're going to take off with it. I mean, they opened the door, you didn't. You
know? Exactly.
Yeah, and they deserve it. They deserve the answer that they get. I don't know. Do you put detergent under your
or just
front of your house? Is that where you keep your laundry powder?
it was hilarious. I'll never forget that one. That was pretty funny.
That's too funny.
Those are the child custody cases are kind of tough. Right.
Yeah, I like what you said about they do favor the mother. That's probably should be that way. I mean, that's historically, mom is a mom is a mom is a mom. I don't care. In Ohio, when I got divorced when my kids were real little, and in Ohio at that time, there was the statute, you could not have joint custody unless it was agreed on by both parties. Oh, wow. The judge, you couldn't just go to court and just say, I think this ought to be 50-50. That wasn't the law then. It was automatically the mother, unless otherwise it was a battle. Things have changed with the times. That's not that way now.
Right, right.
You can imagine how tough that is to go up against that.
Yeah. It is tough. I will tell you that it's very, very, because I've even had clients come to me. The mother of my child's a stripper. And I go, well, unless she's doing drugs, the court will acknowledge that as being a job. Okay. So you can't, just because she's a stripper doesn't mean that she's a bad mom. Okay. So you gotta, you know, I mean, you knew she was a stripper when you had the baby. So what's the big difference now? And I've had some of my clients go to court, and the judge will acknowledge, you know, being what they call it, professional. I kind of think it's some kind of dancer or something. Exotic dancer.
Entertainer.
That's a real job. So they're not going to snatch the child away just because of that. So you better go in there with something better than that.
Yep. Well, you know what? It's interesting. With your history, through being a detective, you've experienced so much that you've got the wisdom. All along the way, you've developed wisdom. You already have answers that a young detective would not have. Right. Just like that, you better have your biscuits all on the same tray if you're going after that, because a judge, I've experienced, they're going to say this. I've seen it.
Right. And I try to do it with my clients. I try to give them some experience. I say, look, this happened to me before in the past. This happened in the past. I would suggest you doing this to cover yourself, just so, to make sure that your money's being well spent and not just being thrown down the tube. Or I've even told people, I said, don't hire me. You don't, I can't, don't hire me for that, because what you're trying to ask me to do, I can't do. Don't do it. So okay. Waste your money.
Can you travel out of state and do stuff, or do you have to be licensed in the state you're at, or how does that work?
As long as you hire me in Texas, I can go someplace else.
Okay.
Does that make sense? But yep. I can't advertise in LA, or I can't advertise in Miami as a Texas private investment. But if you hire me in Texas, and then if I follow somebody from out of Texas, then I'm good.
You know, you're right. There's a guy that I called you on, and you were busy or whatever. I called this other guy out of Del Rio, and he went up to New Jersey and was able to do the deal, man. Because you were unavailable, but that's good though, man. Business is good, so that's good stuff. So we got the travel piece. So you can travel.
Anything in Los Angeles, Miami, Bruce, is fine with me.
Okay,
I'll make sure. Yeah, not a problem.
All the exotic places are going to go to you first, so for sure.
Yeah, New York, Miami, Los Angeles is fine. I had a case, and I'll tell you, I had a case in a city called. Lancaster, California. Have you heard of that before?
No, man.
It's about 2.5 hours out of Los Angeles. It's in Lancaster, California, where a lady hired me to find her son that she thought he was being held hostage. And I got there, and she said his girlfriend's holding him hostage at the house. And I thought she was crazy. And she flew me to Los Angeles. I drove 2.5 hours out of L.A., went down to Lancaster, California. I ended up, by the luck of God, I found the house. I called LA Sheriff's Office to assist me because I thought something might be wrong. And they go, oh, we won't have anybody available for like 3 hours. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to take a chance to handle this myself. And I ended up going inside the house, found the guy. He was living in a garage in the back of his house. He said that he everything was fine. His mom didn't need to check up on him. His girlfriend was there. Of course, law enforcement in me says, okay, I know you and your girlfriend are here. I told her, can you talk to him by himself for a minute? You mind standing over there? So she went off, and I said, okay, I just want to make sure you're okay. Are you fine? I'll leave here, but I need to get a video of you saying that you're fine. So he videotaped, told his mom, I'm fine. Turn off the video. I said, okay, I'm getting ready to leave. And then he goes, can you help me? And I go, what? He goes, can you get me out of here? I was like, right now? I was planning on going to Hollywood and hanging out. And I go, I said, tell you what, get your ID, meet me in the front of the house, and we're getting out of here today, right now. Just put what you got on and let's go. And he came outside. We told his girlfriend that his mom had a heart attack and she had to come home. And man, I left at 6 o'clock in the morning, got there, picked him up, brought him back, put him on an airplane, bought him a ticket, drove back to the airport 2.5 hours, got on an airplane, flew back to Dallas, dropped him off at midnight that night, same day.
Man, nice.
Got him home. And he had a big old cut on his wrist and on his back where she was very jealous. I guess they were doing drugs or something, but every time she'd get mad at him, she would cut him with a knife. And it was a crazy story. Crazy, but.
And you didn't even get to go to Hollywood. It was just a day's work for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's a day's work, man.
That's terrible.
And that's why sometimes these people say. Go ahead, Bruce.
I was going to say, some of those Liam Neeson taken deals, man. You saved the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I thought the mom was like, what is she? What? Are you seriously? I said, okay, I'll go down there if you want me to, but I guess. Man, thought I was just going to go down there and everything was going to be fine. I'd have a little vacation time and hang out a little bit. And I'm like, man, I got to work now. Damn. You know, so it was a tough little case, but got him back home. He was safe and his mom was happy. So that's the most important thing.
That's a good one, bro. Missing persons, man. That was a good save. Yeah. I was going to ask.
Well, it was tough because when I got there, I mean, you know, you've seen some of these movies in Los Angeles with the, you know, California's like a giant desert, basically. And when I got there and I found this guy's house, there were like four or five dogs running around the house. I knocked on the door. I said, hey, man, I'm looking for this particular woman. He goes, yeah, man, that's my ex-wife. I said, okay. I said, well, there's a problem with her and some guy. He goes, yeah, I know who that guy is. I said, well, can I find her? He goes, yeah, do me a favor. Go down three blocks that way, four blocks that way. Look for Avenue G. Take a left there. And two more blocks is a blue house on the right-hand side. I'm like, oh, fuck. Are you serious? He goes, yeah, it's right there. I was like, okay.
That's right there.
The house, and that none of those didn't. There weren't many street signs out there. It was just like, you know, Lancaster, California. I guess it's just a small city. And I go, man. And I got lucky and found the house, man. And then I was like, man, am I going to get jumped when I come in here? I couldn't take my pistola with me because I couldn't carry it on the airplanes. I'm like, man. So I said, I'll call LA County to come out here, and they, because there's not a, the city didn't have a police department, and then. Right. LA sheriff's office said, yeah, we're about 3 hours out. And I said, don't worry about it, man. I'll take a chance. So
that's what you did.
Tough, man. Man. Got him back home.
That's a good one, man.
So, yeah, that's great. I'll show you some pictures next time I see you. I still got a photograph.
That'll be great. Yeah, it'd be good to see some photographs. You know, getting back to the infidelity and the cheaters, I was going to ask you, man, it was like, how many different cheaters cases were you involved on
the TV show, man? I'm a, you know, so there's 44 there's 22 episodes in a year, okay for a season, but then there's two cases on each episode, so that's 44 cases technically. 22 okay. episodes, but there's two cases in each episode, so that's 44 cases. Now I didn't do every case, but I did a lot. I did, I would say, about 70% of them. And man. So I would say, man, a lot. That's all I can tell you. I was involved somehow or some way with a lot of them. I didn't do every one of them, but I did a lot of them. I did a lot of them that were, you know, sadly to say, I might have broken up a few families here and there. That's all I can tell you.
I'm going to say this, and you can plead the fifth. I mean, I watch the show, right? As a matter of fact, it's on like they do reruns of Cheaters. Have you noticed that, bro? Like Cheaters Marathon. Like, okay. Yeah. And so anyway, so I go there, and I'm always looking for you. Like, yeah, that's my man over there, man. Anyway, bro, some of that stuff seems a little bit Jerry Springer, a little, you know. Like, is it always fresh like that, or was some of that stuff a little bit more prepped? You know what I'm saying? Or you can take the fifth.
Well, I'll say it like this, Bruce. There's production value in anything you see on television. Okay,
yeah.
That's how I'm gonna say that. There's little production value in everything, and I'll give you one little example. We had at the confrontation, it had to be so many minutes long. And I know we had a case once where we had a lady confront somebody, and it was one of my clients, and she went to confront somebody, and she ran back into the van, and then the director goes, Danny, your client only confronted that person for 2.5 minutes. We need at least 10.
Oh, wow.
So I talk to my client, and I go,
hey, man,
he's still in that bar. I need you to go back there and get him again, okay, because – part of your contract says this, you know? And so she went back and did it again. We ended up making a show out of it, but it was like, it's little things like that. People don't understand there's so many minutes you need for so much time and spaces on the show and things like that. And like I said, there's a little production value and everything you see is production and anything. Kardashians, some of these shows with the on Bravo, the Real Housewives of Dallas, New York, Orlando. There's always somebody there Right. Because look at the Kardashians. What do they do? Nothing, right? So, okay, why don't y'all go paint your nails today and get into a fight or something, you know? So, you know, it always – and then also sometimes, Bruce, if you see the show, sometimes there's an interview with the client.
Right.
The client talks to us for 2.5 hours about what they would do if they caught him cheating and they're going to do this. And then they get out there and they freeze up and like, okay, you said you're going to go do this. Go do it. You know, do something. So it's just a lot of production value and everything. Anything is still TV's production.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, old Jerry Springer, whatever. Like, I love some of the restaurant confrontations, right? Or South Dallas, I mean, looking for landmarks or Fuel City or something. A little taqueria, you know? And and then they're like, all right, y'all go in there. And there's like the manager. And then, you know, there's like the showdown and in the restaurant and stuff out. You know, he kind of rolls from the restaurant to the parking lot or some of the hotel confrontations, you know? But anyway, it sure is, you know, it's fun to watch, you know, it is what it is, you know, but it is fun to watch.
No, I actually did an interview on a Good Morning Texas once. And the person interviewed me, we went back on different, I think there was like 3 different episodes. We busted people on Valentine's Day and she wanted to go back and look at the difference where it went down at, you know, back then, like 4 or 5 years ago. And some of the places have changed. They're not there anymore. They got different names, a different business. It was kind of weird to go back. But yeah, I confronted them at that table right there. Now it's a donut shop, you know, or it's something else now, or it's, you know, it's just kind of weird to go back there. Like, man, happened a long time ago.
Back in the day. Yeah. Cause it's been a minute for some of that stuff.
Right. And
so no, man, I think it was great. I think it was great that you got to be a part of that, you know, and then carry that forward. It's been a help, you know, obviously, like you said, on infidelity cases, probably 1,000+. I mean, that's kind of a expert witness. So Mr. Gomez, about how many of these? And I don't know, 1,000, 1,500, you know what I mean?
Lots.
I was doing the math. I stopped at about 850 when I was figuring in how many years the show ran. At 70, right. Would have been just a good lick. So, man, good. So, what do we got here? We got just under 3 minutes, brother. So let's, you know, tell everybody how they can find you, your podcast, your YouTube, all your socials. You're just finally joined your Instagram, bro. So,
I saw that. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. So I have my website's detectivegomez.com. All my social media is there, detectivegomez.com. I also have an Instagram page. It's Cheaters Detective. Search that. It's there. I got a X, what's it called? Or Twitter. It's at Detective Gomez. I got a Facebook page, Gomez Detective Agency, Detective Gomez. And then I have a YouTube channel. It's called The Detective Gomez. Search it. I'm always putting videos up about tutorials on how to put a GPS device on the car, how to do it right, how to keep your mouth shut, don't say anything, just different things. I try to give people tips on how to either conduct your own investigation, how to do it, and try to do it right. And then I have a little podcast also where I interview different people about their stories and they've been cheated on, and try to share their stories to educate people on how to handle their own cases should something like that happen to themselves. So just a little different ways to educate people to make sure that they handle it. And if they can't handle it, call me and I'll handle it for you.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. I know I'm a customer, if you will, in some respects, and you've done really well for my clients, and we always enjoy working with you. And you're just absolute professional. Your turnaround time is fantastic, by the way. I either get same day service or next day service. So I like that from Detective Gomez, man. He turns it around for me, and we do appreciate that because sometimes you really need stuff to be done in time. Well, folks, that's it for today. It was another fantastic show here on the Concierge Coaches Show with Detective Daniel Gomez. And again, catch us on Apple Podcast, iHeartMedia. We're now on Audible, Amazon Audible, and several other podcast aggregates. So you'll be able to see Daniel and the show notes and the backlinks are coming. That'll happen here in a few days. So it'll takes a few days for some of that stuff to populate, but we'll get it out there to you. And so aren't you glad that you saw the show. I know you are, and you're a better person for it. Well, Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Same way, Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
All right, and I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. So with that, we'll bid everybody a good afternoon, and we'll see y'all next time on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio. Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron.